Blog Talk Radio.
Now, some of that is widely known.
I just wanted to start with that. Good morning. It's the 3rd of March, 2015, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu. The speech is actually over. I didn't get to hear it live. I've listened to a couple of moments of it, maybe a minute and a half, and I thought it'd be great to just hear a couple seconds of that. I want people to understand that we as Christians need to know that Benjamin Netanyahu is a great leader, but we don't want to deify him or deify any man. You don't want to lift someone up. He's a man with feet of clay. He's a man like you or me, unless you're a woman. But point being that he came here, and you may think he has all kinds of hidden agendas. I don't think he did. I think he's extremely concerned about his country. And with Iran having the opportunity to be able to get nuclear weapons, for us to be naive enough to say that allowing Iran to do some nuclear work to get power sources is okay. It's kind of like, I'm going to give you all the materials you need to make a bomb, but I know that you can also make ice cream. And I'm going to trust that you guys that have hated us since we can remember will make the ice cream. So we'll go ahead and let you do it. Because ice cream brings comfort to people, you know, like power can generate in homes and stuff. Listen, we're just not that stupid. And so for him to be invited here, for him to come here and to speak, statesman, just in the minute or two, how long do you think we listened, Ray? A minute, 2 minutes? Yeah. And I don't know how many standing ovations in that time. And then to cheering. I mean, like a roar here. He started his speech with being humbled to be able to come and speak before the most powerful body of government in the entire world. Now, that's either a great political ploy to get everybody to love you or a statement of truth, and they happen to be the only other dramatically gigantic democratic form of government that's just like here. Somebody said the other day that Christians are absolutely not safe in the Middle East. They're not safe. That's not true. There's over 160,000 Christians that live in Israel, and they're safe. Because the nationalists, the people who are Zionists, the people who are Hebraic, the people who are Jews, who practice Judaism in some form, support the fact that if you're a Christian, you can worship as a Christian. And there's no oppression, and they're not going to hang you or cut your head off or any of those kind of things. It was a monumental speech. I haven't listened again to the whole thing. I only listened to our next door neighbor here in our office, and he listened and said it was great. And I'm listening a little bit, like I said this morning, a few minutes. We need to understand we're at a crossroads in our country. Let me tell you, in 1971, there was I think it's 70 to 72%. It might have been 70 to 76%. Of the men that were in Congress and senators and congressmen, representatives, were veterans. Today, it's 16% and 21% have served in the military. Our own president has never set foot in anything to do with a military background at all, and he is the commander-in-chief. You would be amiss to think that you could take someone who had never ever performed a certain function, even from the middle ground on up to the top, but let alone from the very bottom all the way up, to be in charge of all of that. And yet he is the commander-in-chief of the United States military, of which our military is on a daily basis being degraded in a horrible manner. One of our guys, a buddy at church there, one of our guys, Rudy, I asked him, and he said, I saw a picture of a bunch of these ISIS guys in a Humvee, and he's a Marine. Rudy is, and he goes, how do they get in a Humvee? You know, why are they in a Humvee? There's such a difference, such a huge pit that you could fall into if you don't realize that we have left stuff over there and people have just taken it. When we left them bugged out of the out of Syria and out of all the places we've bugged out, if stuff stays there, oh, they're going to take care of it. Yeah, they're going to take care of it. We are in a crossroads. Are we going to take a stand and be able to say what it is? I want you to know that the Ottoman Empire went from the 13th century to the 20th century. There was, you know, or maybe more than that, but at least up until the 20th century. And Turks, they use the word Turk, it didn't just mean Turkish back then. It basically was what Muslims were referred to. And it was a big deal. Okay, they marched across everywhere and took really no prisoners. And if they took any prisoners, they became slaves. It hasn't changed. And we in the West here just don't understand that. People in the Middle East do. The scriptures talk about that. Now, I want to go back for a second and say, I don't know where Benjamin Netanyahu stands with the scripture. I don't know. I've never met him, and I've heard some things. And I do know that he has been given a New Testament. I know that there's some interesting stories there. But I know that there's many people who have Jewish roots, who are actually Jewish people who have come to the Messiah, and they know the Messiah is Jesus or Yahshua, the Messiah, and they know that things are happening, and it's prophetic. That whole area is prophetic, and things are going to happen, and they're starting. I believe they're starting to happen. I believe there's birth pains that are out there, but it's a monumental day. It would be the same for us to listen to this or to see this as it would be for people to be able to go back and listen to Winston Churchill in World War II. And he's speaking to us about everything, and even more so, people who don't know Christ, people who do not know Christ are not going to understand the implications of this. They're just not. It goes so deep. I want you to take the time to get into the book of Daniel, get into the book of Revelation, read some of these scriptures, and see and understand and know how we've had the wool pulled over our eyes. I was reading your article this morning about slavery. And we think, when you think of slavery, for the most part, most people think of the United States of America buying and selling black people on a market, treating them horribly and just torturous. Again, I want to go back. It wasn't the 15th century, it was the 13th century. From the 13th century to the 20th century, the Ottoman Empire existed, and it was Islam, and it was slavery. Slavery has been everywhere. Slavery is among tribes in Africa. When people were slave traders, whether they were English or not, they would go there, and there would be one tribe that would catch other people from another tribe and sell them to the English. And it's we need to understand it's not just an American problem. It's a world problem, and it has been here for centuries, for millennia. It's just the evilness of man's heart. Okay, there have been fair-complected, there's been European, there's been Asian, all kinds of slaves. And slavery has been with us for a long, long, long time. We can't think it's just us. We can't think it's just the United States of America. And the term slave always has a bad connotation. The term slave always has a bad connotation. Interestingly enough, what Paul said in Romans 1:1, Philippians 1:1, he said that he was a slave of Jesus Christ. He understood that it was in being a slave to Christ that he experienced true freedom. That's where you get freedom, is being a slave to Christ. In other words, sold out, owned, committed to, fully surrendered. And I think that would really help us today. I think that Benjamin Netanyahu is fully surrendered to his country. He cares about his country. And I'm going to tell you that if, in fact, Iran gets nuclear weapons, if they get them, and they are really on the cusp, they talked to a guy yesterday, and he said, it's not years, but it's not days. It's probably months. Within months, they're going to have a nuclear weapon. And if we go through with our little deal that we want to do, negotiating with them, they'll have it. They will have the ability with the ICBMs to be able to kill tens of millions, if not more, people in minutes. Undefensible to a certain degree. And if it's nuclear, it's it will be a Holocaust like we have not seen. So that's real. We're at that place, and people are just acting like there's no tomorrow, and don't worry, and I don't want to hear about it. Now, I don't think it's fun to think about it and talk about it and constantly focus on that at all. Do I think that's fun? But it's something we need to do. You know, if there's a leak, you have to fix the leak. Otherwise, the leak will cause more problems down the road. Now, it may be you just shut it off, and then you're going to have to do some other work, but you've got to attend to it. You know, we're every time we go somewhere, I think, what happens if a pipe breaks in our house and we're gone? Well, we have insurance. But quite honestly, even if you're only gone for a couple hours, you have insurance, and that's one of the reasons you have that. But more than that, you got to continue to check, and then you got to fix it. If you find out there's something wrong, you fix it. I mean, you just do the best you can. Okay, well, here's the deal. Jesus is the one that fixes you. Jesus came and died, and his death was as a result of our sin, because we are sinners. He died, gave his life, by the way, was not screaming drug through the streets. Matter of fact, he carried his own cross through the streets. He gave his life as a ransom for many. In other words, all of us who come to him. Now, the bottom line is Jesus died for all. Unfortunately, many were not going to come to him. That's just the way it is. Many are called, few are chosen. People just do not want to submit. They don't want to submit their lives to anyone else other than themselves. And it's hard. And that can get driven into you over a period of years for a lot of different reasons. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not to our own understanding, and acknowledge him in all of our ways. What most of us do is acknowledge him in a couple ways. Acknowledge him in small areas. We might start giving him a little bit more, but we kind of take some back. And it's a matter of just completely trusting him. Just completely trusting him. Speaking the truth in love and moving forward. When we shine light on these subjects, it gets uncomfortable for some people. I read a little thing this morning. I'd kind of like to end with that. And I'll let you know that we're going to be gone for a couple days. We'll be back on Monday the 9th. We'll be back on Monday the 9th, 11 o'clock. But I want to end with this, and I read this morning. It was so to the point, and especially with everything we see going on in the world, it's just not, it's not really all that positive. It says, the city does not need the sun, or the moon to shine on it, this holy city. Why? For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Now watch this. This is Anne Graham Lotz wrote this, and it just blows me away. Our heavenly home will glow and radiate with light from within, the light of God himself and the glorious radiance of his presence. Now, she goes on to write this. I have been in some of the great cities of the world at night. I have looked out after sunset from Victoria Peak in Hong Kong during the Chinese New Year, and I have seen the light transform the hills surrounding the harbor into a virtual fairyland. I have seen the lights of Cape Town, South Africa, wrapped around Table Mountain at night, forming a vast jewel-studded skirt. But even in those great cities with millions of lights, there are still pockets of darkness. In our heavenly home, there will be no darkness at all. Remember that. No darkness, and in heaven. So get into the Word this week. Spend time with the Lord this week. Get into the fellowship this weekend with good fellowship. Teach the Bible, actual Bible. In fact, they encourage you to bring your Bible with you to church. Fellowship, encourage each other. And we'll be back here on Monday at 11 o'clock and have a little bit more time. We'll get back into the Word and look more into 2 John and 3 John. And continue on in that theme. So you guys have a wonderful, absolutely wonderful day, and we will see you on the 9th.